The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Our guest panelist this week is Professor Heather Hill Vasquez from the Department of English.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's true. It's absolutely true. Proven to us through film and book. We have Professor Roy Finkenbein here from the Department of History.
I'm feeling very fragile today.
It's been a rough term, Roy.
It's been a rough term.
Jeez. Wow, I had no idea you were that fragile. We'll talk about it later. Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. How are things?
Not too bad. Can't complain.
I feel like I owe you an apology because, you know, things got kind of ugly, unfortunately, on Halloween night with the wind and the cold and the rain and what have you. But I could have sent the kids over to at least say hi and pick up some treats. And
or TP like, your trees.
No,
or,
yeah.
No. Your windows. I wasn't home, actually.
What were you guys giving out? Nothing?
Nothing. I wasn't even home. I didn't get home till like midnight then.
Well, now, aren't you grateful you didn't send your children over
there? I would have given them clam chowder.
By the ladle.
Yeah, one ladle at a time. No crackers for you, Enzo.
Oh my gosh.
It was very cold and nasty.
It was not nice. Considering how beautiful it had been the previous week, it just was brutal. Last couple years have been kind of rough that way. Professor Jim Tubbs is here from Religious Studies.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
All I have to say to that is I got a rock. Rock. My kids think that's the funniest thing they have ever heard in their life. They like laugh out loud. They roll on the floor laughing.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's you know, wholesome fun. I got a candy bar. I got a stick of gum. I got
a
popcorn
ball.
About? The things that make them laugh are indicative of their parents' sense of humor for sure. But there's a scene that seems out of place in It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. They're all wearing their costumes, so they don't know who each other are, right? And one of the group of kids walks into the room looking at Lucy in her witch makeup, witch mask, and goes, "Patty, is that you?" Lucy responds, "No." And that's the end of the scene. They're laughing at that, too. They've been doing that line for about 2 weeks now.
Oh, Lordy.
It's like, "Dad, is that you?" "No." Oh, my gosh. Professor Jason Roach is here from Communication Studies.
Trying to think of a good quote from a Christmas special.
Yeah, I know. It's time to transition.
No, gold. I'm UConn Cornelius.
Oh, UConn Cornelius. I thought you were Jabba Chamberlain for a minute. Oh, my. Professor Dan Maggio is here from the First Organization. What do you got, Dan?
Oh, fudge. Except he didn't say fudge.
I didn't say fudge. Oh, doing your best, Gene Shepard, huh?
The movie is really entertaining. It's one of my favorites.
Did you see the stage show of a couple years ago with the Fox?
Yes.
Not good?
Or no, I didn't see it.
Okay.
It was okay.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw it.
I heard it was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Worth going to see. I mean, I can't see the Rockettes for a 17th time. Frankly, it's getting a little weird. That's all I've got to say about that.
Well, they had a Rockette kick line with the leg.
That's right.
Leg lamp in the stage show.
Very cool. Now I kind of want to see that.
Oh.
Professor Beth Oljar loves all things Christmas from the Department of Philosophy.
I have a leg lamp Christmas ornament.
Mm-hmm. A leg, just like a tiny little leg?
Yeah.
It's cute.
Lamp with the shade on it.
Right.
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 But yes, and I'm having memories about the piquant taste of Lifebuoy when I once got my mouth washed out. So.
Does it convey young boys' thoughts of electric sex?
That's what I was trying to find a way to weave that. There it was for the whole neighborhood to see.
That's right.
Everybody's stopping by. Of course, we can't forget from our Arizona studio, it's Professor Diane Manica.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, indeed. Here. More afternoon-y to you than it is to us. Yeah.
Yes, it is. That's right.
I'll just ask. I mean, we might as well do this with a sigh. What's the weather like?
You notice I was being careful not to say.
Well,
you're being tactful.
83, sunny, and blue skies.
Oh. And the humidity is low.
Just like yesterday, and it'll be just like that tomorrow.
Okay.
Dry heat.
Am I the only person at this table that actually prefers the weather here?
Yeah,
today
I actually
is a perfect
like this
day.
It is kind of not. I mean, it's very sunny here today, Diane.
It's
cool.
Cold.
And that's okay, but
and
sunniness
it's awesome.
is beautiful.
And
when
I'm
I left
for
this
those
morning,
who enjoy it.
It's easier to get warm when you're cold than it is to cool down when you're hot.
I think to a certain extent that is true.
No, that's just like a demonstrable scientific fact.
You're saying this is elementary thermodynamics.
Yeah.
Okay.
My cat has a scientific paper to prove it.
That's right. I forgot about that. Folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything, feline scientific research. If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. If you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes, too. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook, or I should say the Twitter machine. When last we had our heroes, we were taking on a set of questions that didn't have a name attached to them, but we had a pretty strong suspicion there from Professor Barbara Bowles, formerly of the UDM Department of Communication Studies. And we were about to tackle this one. The Age of Dinosaurs is known as what era? What is the characterization of that era called?
Mesozoic.
The Mesozoic, yes, which was comprised of three different periods.
Cretaceous.
Cretaceous.
Pleistocene?
Nope.
Is it Cambrian?
Next one starts with a J.
Jurassic?
Jurassic.
And last one starts with a T.
Teutonic.
The T-Rex.
There's a joke in there about using the word Jurassic, and this one would be if there were three of them, maybe?
The Triassic,
yes. That's as far as I'm going to go.
Triassic.
Careful.
Careful.
All the good chemistry jokes are gone.
They are.
Are gone.
It's true. Don't believe atoms. They make up everything.
They do.
To qualify as a mountain, a landmass must reach at least how many feet tall?
5,000 feet above sea level.
This is quite a bit smaller than that.
50.
No.
500.
We have a lot of garbage mountains around here.
They're made of tires.
Burning tire fires.
2,500, half a mile.
No, you know, it says here it's only 1,000 feet, which is 304 meters from bottom
that's
to
pathetic.
Top.
That's pathetic.
It is pathetic.
Only people from the Michigan east mountain. Would think that but, yeah, counted as
I mean,
a mountain.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, as that's flat as it is around
older.
Here, that is a mountain.
Yeah. That's because they're older and have been worn down. Yes. My husband and I are.
I mean, I know people that ski down stuff that's shorter than that
like,
around here.
Like Mount Holly. Yes. Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think the parking deck at CCS is taller than that. I
mean. Mount Rainier is a mountain.
Mount Rainier is a big mountain.
And this is what I was going to talk to you about, because the next question is they want, in order of height, the top 10 tallest mountains of the United States. Hint, they're all on the western side of the country, all within California, Colorado, and Washington.
Show off.
Everest, in the continental United States.
Continental.
No, not including Mount
McKinley. Rainier.
Well, number one is not Rainier.
Everest.
It's Pikes Peak, right?
Nope.
Pikes Peak.
Baker, Mount Hood.
I mean, the best way I can...
Mount Shasta.
The first two are on the same mountain. One is a North Peak and one is a different peak.
Isn't that the same mountain, though?
It's the same mountain, technically.
So how can it...
At 20,320 feet, this mountain, named after an American president, is not really called that anymore.
McKinley?
Because,
No. That's his
peak, right?
You
is
were
it?
Talking about the continental United States.
Now, why does it say here all are on the western side of the country?
Well, the western side of the country includes... But what he read does not include Alaska. But yes, Mount McKinley is by far the tallest.
Yeah. But it's not supposed to be called Mount McKinley.
It's Denali.
It's Denali, okay. Yes.
That was its original name.
Exactly. Next up is named after a saint that folks who used to go eat at Big Boy around here might know this name.
Saint Shoney's?
No.
Saint Saunders. Hot fudge.
Saint. Remember when Big Boys were all owned by different companies?
Elias?
The one in Michigan was Elias Brothers. Yes, yeah, so it's Mount St. Elias, 18,000 feet.
Where in the heck is that?
Who knows? there's no way I'm going to be able to make up something like this, except for maybe it applies to Professor Finkenbein's need of grabbing a rake again. Mount Foraker, or Foraker, 17,000 feet. In Latin, the word for good, Mount...
Bona?
Bona, to 26,000 feet. That's wild. Let's see here. How about...
Well, there's got to be a few more because Rainier is 14,000, so it's got to be a couple more till we get to Rainier.
Right, and Rainier isn't in the top 10, according to this list, because we actually have... I mean, we're going to make it through this by hook or by crook. I'm going to choke the rivers with my dead before I give up on this one.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. The opposite on the color wheel of white is...
Black.
And what happens when something really, really hot hits your skin?
Burn.
Blackburn.
Mount Blackburn.
Where's that?
Somewhere, 16,000 feet.
Somewhere. Continental U.S.
place
Western,
for us.
Western part of the country.
A very, very famous Northern California university named after the last name of somebody without the T.
Sanford?
Sanford is what I was going for. Those things that hold up the sides of medieval architecture.
Buttress?
Mount Buttress at 15,885 feet.
That sounds kinky.
It's from the Triassic. Named after a very famous Canadian city that's very, very close to Seattle.
Vancouver?
Mount Vancouver, 15,700 feet. And very, very famous Prime Minister of England.
Churchill?
Mount Churchill at 15,638 feet.
Good grief.
All my mountains just missed it.
Oh, yep. Sorry.
How did these mountains become so unknown?
Yeah, it's true. You guys all knew Denali, but beyond that, it was rough. It's pretty rough going.
I thought we did very well.
So for the record,
you gave some really good
We did well listening to his hints.
Yeah.
So, you know, Denali clocks in just over 20,000 feet, 320 feet. Compared to the tallest mountain in the world, Mount Everest is how many feet?
32,000 something?
29.
29,
yeah,
that's 29, close.
So, yep.
It's eroding.
Yep. Okay, so if we can, starting with new, can you walk me through in chronological order the phases of the moon?
New. Waning.
Waxing.
Waxing comes before waning.
Waxing. We're going to wax what?
Oh, or wax on. Is going up,
wax
waning
off.
Is coming down.
Wax on.
We're going to wax a crescent.
Crescent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Waxing crescent.
And then a quarter moon.
Then a waxing quarter. Then a waxing...
Half.
Waxing a dime.
Waxing blue moon.
Half moon. Harvest moon.
Only when it's real cold.
This was one of my favorite words when I was growing up, because I really did think I was going to be like a cosmologist, like Carl Sagan or something like
three
that.
Three quarters?
Billions.
When it's three quarters, it's called a gibbous is the word that's used.
Oh.
And for the record, the questions here point out, the use of the word waxing and gibbous are almost exclusively restricted to the phases of the moon in the English language. It's wild. What? I want to find a way to use gibbous every
except
day.
Except waxing eloquent.
That's true.
Waxing your
waxing
legs.
Gibbous is
or
followed by...
Or in my case, waning eloquent.
Full moon?
The full moon, which is followed by...
The quarter moon, the waning gibbous.
The waning gibbous.
Waning half... Oh, well.
Waning quarter?
No, waning...
Waning half first.
Yeah. Waning half.
Yeah.
The waning quarter. And the waning crescent. Yes.
And then no moon?
I have confirmed this is from Barbara Bowles. The source for these questions is Lars Bowles, a gibbous nut. Oh, let's swallow that one while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1995.
Our next little bit of questions comes from Dirt Man.
Oh, dead Dirt Man.
Not again.
From Kindy, Michigan. Oh, yes.
Is this someone new?
No.
Oh, yes. Well, but Dirt Man's been around.
You know Dirt Man.
Aren't we going to Kindy? One of our road trips?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
There's good bowling.
Is that where it is?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It's a great place.
Where's Kindy?
Here,
thumb.
Dan, it's in the thumb.
Of Indiana?
All of us carry the map of the state around with us on our bodies.
Right.
Massachusetts is supposed to be doable, too. You just put your hand into these weird contortions.
Oh, is that?
This is Massachusetts.
George is making a threatening, perhaps obscene gesture.
Well, Dirt Man wants to know.
How do you say Cape Cod in Italian?
Oh, we are eating these questions alive, Barbara. Thank you so much for sending them in. These are a lot of fun. There's only a couple left, but they should keep us busy for probably a few more minutes. Most of us know the seven ancient wonders of the world. I believe it would have been late 70s, early 80s. Somebody got together with somebody else and decided to identify the seven modern wonders of the world. At that time, just to give you a sense of where we're headed here, what were the seven modern wonders of the world?
The Wall of China.
The Great Wall of China.
Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Tower is not on the list.
The Arc de Triomphe.
Niagara Falls.
Empire State Building.
No.
It's man-made.
These
have to be human-made.
Wonders of the world.
Sears Tower.
I'm sorry?
Niagara Falls was a natural wonder
right,
of the world.
Right, right.
The Hoover Dam.
Not the Sears Tower, but one comparable in the largest city in Canada.
The
CN Tower in Toronto.
CN Tower of Toronto, yes.
Meh.
Let's see. There is a dam.
Hoover?
Boulder?
Nope. Grand Coulee.
It's on the Parana River on the border of Brazil and Paraguay. Do you know what dam that is? Folks, send in your questions about famous dams.
The one that keeps the piranha out?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the Itapau Dam is what it says here.
The Panama Canal.
The Panama Canal is a man-made wonder. Pardon me, human-made wonder.
Doesn't have the Three Gorges Dam there.
Nope.
Oh, that was...
Famous bridge is listed here. A bridge in Japan.
What about Mount Rushmore?
Mount Rushmore's not here.
Oh.
No. Very famous bridge in Japan.
The bridge on the River Kwai?
No. Nope.
So not that one that goes to Narita Airport, is it?
You know, it could be. It says it's called the Pearl Bridge, also known as the Akashi Kaiko Bridge.
Okay.
Sure. Let's say what city it's in.
Tokyo Harbor.
Mm-hmm. What if I said Folkestone to Calais?
Oh, the channel.
Yes, the channel tunnel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And last but not least, just sort of showing the dating of this, a conveyance. This would be the seventh one.
Some kind of cable car? A car. Brazil or something like that?
What? Concorde 7.
It's a vehicle.
Space shuttle?
It's the space shuttle. The American space. The people mover. Oh my gosh. Diane, that was great. But
at least the monorail in Seattle.
The chairlift up to St. Moritz.
I like the monorail.
I know. It was very cool.
I mean, the space shuttle is a great addition to the list. It's just that when looking at it now, considering it's been retired, it's kind of sad to think that it's already outdated. Last but not least, from the Bowles family, these have been just absolutely wonderful. What is the state of Michigan's oldest university, and when was it founded?
Oh, boy.
It was founded in Detroit.
U of M.
It says U of M here. Yep, the University of Michigan founded when?
Because Gabriel Richard was one of the people that founded it, and a Presbyterian minister along with him. 1814?
1817, I'm giving it to you. Spot on.
Close enough.
Professor Tubbs, very, very, very well done. Most excellent. I have a set of questions here from Julie Elder from Poughkeepsie, right? Very, very cool. Dear Professor Mayo, as shocking as it is, this year is actually the 40th anniversary of the classic Mel Brooks movie Blazing Saddles.
Which could not be made today.
Boy, oh boy, I've noticed a trend on your show where these questions pop up from time to time to time. Well, rather than let them occur at random, here's my list of 10 Blazing Saddles movie questions. Please enjoy the questions and do not recreate the movie's campfire scene on the air.
Oh, jeez. Might as well go
home.
Put
the beans away. Come on.
Those aren't beans.
Those aren't beans.
I'm just a pawn.
How many Academy Award nominations did the movie receive?
Four.
It says here three. Now, let's see if we can sort through this.
Best original screenplay.
Let's see. No.
Best sound effects.
No.
So supporting actor in Harvey Korman?
No, but there was actor-actress one.
Best supporting.
It was Madeline Kahn.
Yes.
Best actress in a supporting role.
The Teutonic Titwillow.
Yes.
That's where the Teutonic came in.
Oh, my Lord.
That was her stage name.
That's right. What other two nominations? These
best
were not
director wins.
Not directing, no. I've revealed before that being a child of the 80s, I've never sat down to watch the movie. I've seen like every part of it, but I've never put it together into one
best
story.
Best scene involving violence against a horse?
No.
No.
It says editing. Okay. And you'll have to help me with this because I can't imagine what it is, but it says original song. What was the original song from
probably
the movie?
The one that Madeline Kahn sang on stage.
I'm tired.
Or the very
I'm
end.
I'm tired.
Must have
The very end where they break the fourth plane? With the
Dom DeLuise is directing.
Bit? Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Stick out your hips. I don't want to do the whole thing.
Yeah, don't do the dance.
May not be appropriate. You know,
this is radio.
We may not be able to rein this in.
Even Robin Williams had to do all the original songs a few years ago when the South Park Blame Canada song was nominated for Best Original Song. What famous band leader had a cameo in Blazing Saddles?
Was it Cab Calloway?
No, it doesn't say that here. I want to say this is a person who frequented Baker's Keyboard Lounge at 8 Mile and Livernoy, very close to UDM's campus.
Count Basie?
Count Basie is what it says here.
Oh, wow.
The Count Basie Orchestra was playing April in Paris
at the end
in the Wild West.
Paris. For the Teutonic Titwillow.
Oh, my. Get that in anytime we can, aren't we? What is the name of the town the Blazing Saddles was set in?
Rock Ridge.
Rock Ridge. Very well done. I mean, bits and pieces of it are coming back, okay? My childhood. What was everyone's last name in Rock Ridge? Everybody had the same last name.
Johnson.
Johnson.
Remember Howard Johnson? You know, all those other famous Johnsons.
Random humor makes me almost not able to come back to reality. I think that's so funny. I can't even comprehend it right now.
That's John Hillerman. Who are some of those other Johnsons that were there? Remember?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Okay.
What famous childhood actor played the young Sheriff Bart?
Sheriff Gene Wilder?
No, it doesn't say that.
No. Not the sheriff. Not the kid from The Little Rascals.
Oh, he wasn't the sheriff.
Stymie? No.
I know who you're talking about. Sorry, it wasn't Gene Wilder. He was
what famous childhood actor drunk played the young Sheriff Bart?
Like a Todd Bridges?
Was once a spokesperson for Jack in the Box fast food chain.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, recognize the name, but I can't imagine anything
McDonald's
else they were in.
Coming. That was their slogan in the mid-70s.
That's right. Three names, initials R-A-R.
Malcolm Jamar Warner?
No. It's not John Wilkes Booth either.
I don't know.
So it'd save you from that one. It says here the name is Rodney Allen Rippey.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That takes you back to the 60s.
Wow. I guess. What famous actor turned down a role in the movie but said, "Nah, I can't do a movie like that, but I'll be the first in line to see it"?
Burt Reynolds.
Nope.
Richard Pryor. No.
Andy Griffith?
No, think about the time when the movie came out. You probably would have had a huge score as a young Mel Brooks tries to get this vehicle out the door.
Robert Redford.
John Wayne is what it says here.
Oh, really?
Wow. That would have been hilarious. But he wants to see it. We'll give him that, right? Thank you, Marion.
Give me some beans, pilgrim.
Well, Greg Sumner and I like his role as the centurion in King of Kings.
The clueless.
Truly, this man was the son of God.
Oh, my. Who was originally penciled in? Who knows what that means, to play Sheriff Bart?
Was that Richard Pryor? Yeah, Richard Pryor?
It says Richard Pryor here, but due to the controversial nature of his stand-up, Mel Brooks couldn't get financing for his movie. Pryor ended up being one of the lead writers instead, and the role went to
Cleavon Little.
Cleavon Little, that's right. Mel Brooks also asked this talk show host / comedian to play the role of the Waco Kid. Who was he? Don't think he took the role.
It ended up being Gene Wilder playing that.
That's right.
Role.
Talk show
with Johnny Carson.
Yes, Johnny Carson was originally offered that role. Wow. That would have been
interesting.
Yeah, that would have been way different.
Yes. What singer showed up for the audition when Mel Brooks posted an ad for Frankie Lane type to sing the title song?
Frankie Lane.
Frankie Lane did. He also showed up thinking it was a serious Western and was deeply disappointed upon reading the script. Frankie Lane type. It's so descriptive. I'm ready to lose it. Even like the circumstances of the movie are hilarious. It's so great. What did Sheriff Bart, the Waco Kid, and Mongo have built to slow the advance of the raiding party?
Fake city.
Something a little more specific than that?
Oh, it was the toll booth.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find a dime, remember, in order to get past it. So they're searching one another for loose change.
Gosh, those are just wonderful, Julie. Thanks for sending those in. That's great.
There's no Hedy Lamarr question.
No,
Hedley. It's Hedley.
Excuse me. You're right.
Hedley. Oh, my.
Harvey Korman was wonderful.
Did he pass away?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Harvey Korman?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's really sad.
Madeline Kahn is a huge
He was also
loss.
Good in the Gone with the Wind scene. Carol.
When are you going to make a movie like that again? It's like Mad.
You look so much less hideous tonight.
Yeah. That movie is so politically incorrect. Yeah. There's absolutely no way anything like that could be made. Yeah. Same's true of History of the World Part 1.
Right.
Yes.
Stand-up philosopher.
We can jump into these and see what we can do with them in the time we have remaining. Hi, professors. Dennis and I put our heads together and wrote another set of questions. There are great roads to travel across this big country and lots of fun places to visit. Here are a few of the lesser-known sites and obscure bits of info. Thanks a lot, Marilyn Bachorik of Munising, Michigan, way up in the UP.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Let's see. Maybe, if you will, Professor Chow will fire up his vintage Chrysler and take the rest of you on. Yeah, that's what it says here. These are questions regarding the topic of the Great American Road Trip. What tasty museum is a must visit when visiting Austin, Minnesota?
Spam.
The Spam Museum. Oh, yeah. See?
I'll have your Spam, dear. I love it.
I love it.
Yum.
For the record, the information was garnered from spam.com.
It's the state dish of Hawaii.
No. Oh, they, well,
oh, they love
pork
Spam.
Shoulder.
Certain, yeah.
With pineapple?
Yeah, with pineapple.
Well, anything is better than poi, which tastes like Elmer's glue.
It's fish.
Well, yes, poi is not very good.
It's blue.
But Spam, you can get Spam at Burger King and McDonald's and everywhere for breakfast. It's on every
meal. In Hawaii?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just put a fried egg on top.
I think it's because during the Second World War, it was the only like meat they had access to. And now it's so popular that
meat-like substitute.
The governor has to make sure that there's a stockpile in case the ships don't get through.
Well, it keeps forever like a Twinkie. So
uh-huh. Yeah, it's got a long shelf life.
That's a great Ask the Professor
Or cave
question.
Life.
That's a great Ask the Professor question. You know?
Well,
what's the shelf life of Spam?
No.
Yeah. What's the shelf life
what is
of
Spam
Twinkie?
Made of?
Apparently, based
we've
on
never come up with an answer to
what
based
the
on the sales
of
Spam and
yes.
how they increased leading up to Y2K, there are basements all over America full of Spam.
Full of Spam.
I wonder what the governor of Michigan would stockpile.
Oh, please,
probably
votes.
Pasties,
votes.
Dried cherries,
pasties.
Dried cherries. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
People to install as emergency financial managers when he decides that there are other cities in the state that can't handle democracy. That's what he'll stockpile.
Got it. Well, I wasn't going the political route, but it's all you, Beth.
You said what would the governor of Michigan stockpile, so you don't get to be mad at me about that.
Thank you for your opinion, Beth. What restaurant?
His voice alone.
That was my
so annoying. His voice alone is so annoying. I mean,
he's
even apart
from
his policies.
Nerd.
Oh, please.
What restaurant has been feeding travelers at the same location on Route 66 since the highway was established in 1926? This is in Jackson Avenue in Chicago, the original start of Route 66.
Ed DeBevics?
No, it's not Ed DeBevics. We'll try it this way. First name.
Does it have Italian beef in the name?
No.
Does it have a hot dog in the name? Well, it is A from Chicago.
It's not the Wiener Circle. First name, same, first and last name as, I blew it already, forget it. It's Lou Mitchell's, located on Jackson Avenue in Chicago. And they're well known for something. My sister lives in Chicago. Servers will bring out to patrons waiting in line something very, very unique and special. Do you know what it is?
Did you say waiters or waitresses?
Waitron. How's that?
No, never mind. I'm
something you.
They bring piping hot donut holes to people who are waiting to get into the restaurant.
Oh,
so
that's
yeah,
nice.
That's kind of interesting.
I like the sass you get at Ed DeBevics.
That's hospitality.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll talk more about that next time because I'm afraid our time is up. We have to say goodbye, Diane.
Goodbye, adios.
Thank you so much for calling in, Professor Hill Vasquez.
Oh, have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Professor Finkenbein.
Have a wonderful life.
Professor Chow.
See you.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Roach.
Don't take any wooden nickels.
Professor Maggio.
Bye-bye.
Professor Oljar.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.